This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
The message that God has given me for us, and it's really going to be just really relatable to everybody, and also we can use it every day. I love messages where when you hear them, it's like, man, that's something that I can apply to my life every single day, and it's going to make my life better. It's going to make my life stronger, and it's going to take me to a new level. So with that being said, the title of the message is, What Did You Expect? We're going to talk about the power of expectation. Someone say expectation. All right. So this is cool. What I want to do is I want to read. We're going to read through our scripture. And then we'll get started. So let's read together. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And this is the Passion Translation. It says, As Jesus left the house, two blind men began following him, shouting out over and over. Someone say over and over. Son of David, show us mercy and heal us. And they followed him right into the house where Jesus was staying. So Jesus asked them, Do you believe that I have the power to restore sight to your eyes? Do I have any believers in here this morning? Any believers in here? Come on, we can do a little better. Any believers in here this morning? There we go. Do you believe that I have the power to restore sight to your eyes? And they replied, Yes, Lord, we believe. And then Jesus put his hands over their eyes and said, You will have what your faith expects. You will have what your faith expects. And so we're going to talk about the power of expectation in our lives. Jesus, we thank you today for who you are, for every good thing that's in our lives, because it has truly come from you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Move up and down every aisle, in and out of every row. Save and set free and heal and deliver. God, whatever's wrong, I'm asking you to change and bring solutions to problems. God, you know every situation. Under the sound of my voice, there are situations varying with family and mental illness and physical illness going on and battling against, coming against people. There's emotional things going on with people, marital things going on with people, financial things. And Jesus, we know that you are the solution, that you're the answer. And so I ask you by your power, by your anointing, that God, you would begin to come in with solutions, that you would begin to come in and minister and touch those areas of our lives, Father, because our expectation is from you. It's not in a preacher. It's not in a service. It's not just in music. It is in you. We look to you this morning. All of our eyes are upon you. Hallelujah. All of our eyes are upon you. And when we look to you, miracles happen. When we look to you, hearts are mended. When we look to you, emotions are restored. Jesus, we give you glory and we give you praise and we say, have your way in this place. Let us never be the same in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, sis. Appreciate you. Hallelujah. Team just did an amazing job all day, everybody. It's funny, though, when we call these Sunday night gatherings, how people, if they're not careful, they'll pick, well, I'm going Sunday night, so... You know what I'm talking about? So, but you guys are saved. You're not like them, all right? You guys are saved. You guys love Jesus. Y'all are going to heaven. They're going to hell. Come on, just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it's going to be an amazing night, man. Do whatever you have to do to get here. It's going to be incredible. All right, so let's talk about expectations. So my wife is on the verge of becoming an Amazon Prime addict, right? And man, every see all y'all ladies laugh because you're like, I got boxes at my door right now. Hallelujah, Prime, like, you know, like hashtag shop all day. All right, whatever. I don't know, but so she does, man. She orders so many things from Amazon Prime. She did all of her Christmas shopping on Amazon Prime. The boys, we don't have to take them to the mall or to Joypers for new shoes, man. We just, boom, just find what we desire, click the button, pay, and man, it's on the way. And so that's what we do, right? We go to Amazon and we look there and we look at the new jeans, or the new TV, or the you know, the new shoes, the new kicks that we want, and we go ahead and press pay. And as soon as we pay, right, they got our credit card information, they've got our social security, they got everything. Jesus protect us. Come on, somebody, right? But they got all that going on, and so we press the button, and then as soon as we press the button, we become owners of that product. We can't feel it, we can't see it, we have not received it. Yet, we are owners of the product that we just ordered from Amazon Prime. And when we order it, now we have an expectation. We have an expectation that the product that we ordered from Amazon Prime, I can't see it right now, but it's on the way to my door. Right? And so we live our lives knowing that, man, in a day or two, my shoes are going to be at my door. In a day or two, my shoes are going to be there. You think about it, get excited about it, and you start thinking about what you're going to wear your shoes with, and you get excited about it. Like, there's no question. You know, man, that box is going to show up. UPX or FedEx is going to bring that box to my door, and balling on a budget. Whatever. I don't know. Maybe you found them on sale, but you know those shoes are going to be at your door. Listen, man, if we can have an expectation that what Amazon Prime says is going to happen, how much more should we have an expectation of what God said is going to happen? And he said, you and your household shall be saved. He said that by his stripes you are healed. He said that peace is yours in your mind. He said he's going to make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. Amen. He says that you're blessed coming in and blessed going out. If God says these things, then I should have an expectation, because 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid the price on Calvary when he died in your place, went to hell in your place, rose from the dead on the third day. And when he got up, he said, it is finished. Everything you have need of, I just paid the price. Pay in full. And if he said it's paid for, if he said it's done, we should have an expectation. Today, I'm going to be blessed. Today, I expect healing. Today, I expect my emotions to be awesome. Today, I expect this to be a day of blessing and of goodness. Today, I expect everything that God said to come to pass in my life. I may feel like hell right now, but I believe something good is going to happen to me today. I may feel depressed right now, but my God is going to turn my sorrow into dancing. I may feel horrible right now, but if God be for me, who can be against me? I may feel like a failure right now, but I can do all things through Christ who gives. If somebody believes this, give God a shout of praise. Someone say expectation. You got to have a God expectation. So a week and a half ago, I got a phone call, and I got a phone call from my grandma, and she said, Jason, you remember several years ago, you went to pray for a man in the hospital, and he was, at that point, he was alcohol and different things had a hold of his life, and he was just struggling, man, and he was, I think, in an accident, and he was close to death, had some severe health problems, and they had taken him to the hospital, and they had given him up pretty much to die. They were not expecting him to make it, and so they called and asked my dad if he would go pray. My dad was out of town or unavailable, and so we're talking about expectation, and so I walked into the hospital, and the first thing that was on my mind is salvation, that this man would know the Lord. He was, like I said, dealing with alcohol and addiction, and he was getting ready to die, it looked like. And so we prayed, and I said, listen, man, if you believe on Jesus, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, that the goodness of Jesus is that he paid the price on Calvary for every sin to be washed away. Every sin, every stain, every guilt, every bit of shame has been washed away. Listen, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Is anybody glad that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? We are ministers of reconciliation. They need to know the price has already been paid for all their sin. And we need to know that the price has already been paid. We have access and communication and fellowship with our Father, not because of my performance, but because of his performance. And so I began to pray, and we prayed the prayer of salvation. And then I said, I want you to know that Jesus not only saves, but he heals. And I said that he took, you know, stripes upon his back. He bore our sicknesses, carried away our pains. And if you'll believe with me, we'll believe God that Jesus will come in and heal your body. And so we prayed in the name of Jesus the prayer of faith, and I released my faith. And when I left the hospital room, I had expectation that Jesus had touched his body, though in the natural it didn't look like it. It looked just as bad as before I walked in there. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? But we walk by faith and not by sight. So I left the room, and that was it. I released my faith, but I had an expectation that Jesus had touched his body. And then I didn't hear anything. So I just went on with life and went on with ministry. I didn't hear anything. And then this was several years ago. And about a week and a half ago, I get a phone call from my grandma. And she said, Jason, you remember you went in the hospital and prayed for this man? And I said, yeah, I do remember that. They said, they called and they said, you tell Pastor Jason when he came in the room and prayed with this young man that he got saved that day. Not only did he get saved, but Jesus came in and touched his body and healed him and raised him up. That may not be a big deal to you, but that's a miracle to me. And then they said, not only did Jesus heal him, he says, you tell Pastor Jason, he's been preaching the gospel from the time that God raised him up. Come on, he's preaching the gospel today. Come on, can anybody get excited that there is nothing too hard for God? I don't know what you have need of. I don't know what God needs to do in your life, but if it looks like it's dead, we serve a God that can raise that thing back up. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm talking to some parents or some family here that says, it looks like my kids are going crazy. It looks like they want nothing to do with God. It looks like they're opposed to the things of God. They fight me every time I try to get them in church. It looks like that call of God on their life is dead. That man looked dead when I went in there too. But if God can raise him up, God will raise up the calling on those kids. I declare that you and your household shall be saved. The calling of God on their life will come fully to pass. I declare that what the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around and work it for good. I declare every child that is wayward is going to come back into the kingdom. God's going to raise them up as lights in the darkness, and God will use their testimony as a light to thousands of others. Somebody ought to say amen. Woo, that's good stuff right there. That's not even in the notes. Listen, man, let's be real for a moment. Expecting God to do great things in your life can be reasonably difficult when what you're believing God for, well, let me read it, right? I have the slide up there, right? That believing God for God to do great things in your life can be reasonably difficult when your current experience completely contradicts any positive expectation of God doing something good in your life. Did you follow that? That was like a big statement. Say it again. Say it again. Feel like Mufasa. Ooh, powerful. Say it again, right? Right, expecting God to do great things in your life can be reasonably difficult when your current experience completely contradicts any expectation of God doing something good in your life. And when you start believing God, when you start expecting God that he'll do something great in your life, what happens is the enemy comes with past failures and things that you were believing God for that you didn't see materialize yet. And he'll come with negative thoughts and experiences from your past and emotions. And he will project those emotions on your mind and on your soul because he wants you to shrink back from believing God. He wants you to shrink back from expectation. He wants those emotions and those negative things to diminish your expectation. And if we're honest in here tonight, life experiences and failures and disappointments have come against us to diminish our expectation. But God wants to say, listen, just because the devil throws those negative things at you doesn't mean that your expectation is not working. In fact, Brother Hagin said this. He says, when you feel the worst, when you're believing God, faith is working the best. The devil says, if it was working, why would you feel like hell? And if it was working, why ain't it getting better? And if it was working, it looks like it's gotten worse. Because listen, sometimes the devil is throwing everything that he has at that right there, because he knows, my God, if they keep expecting, they're going to encounter the power of God. So we got to throw everything we can at them. But as long as you stand your ground and say, I don't care what it feels like, I don't care what it looks like, I expect my God to bring goodness into my, I expect to be healed, I expect to be delivered, I expect to be prosperous, I expect that this is going to be a good day. Hallelujah. Come on, Ice Cube, the great prophet Ice Cube years ago had it right, and today was a good day. Come on, somebody, right? You got to expect. Someone say expect. You got to expect the goodness of God to come to pass in your life. You got to raise expectations, man. We're going to talk about that. Because listen, anytime God looks to do something in the earth, he looks to do it through expectation. He looks for people who have expectation. Every time somebody in the Bible had expectation, it got met by the power of God. Hallelujah. Not one time did it not. Oh, Jesus. I love what Jesus said. He said, you will have what your faith expects. He didn't say if you have the right upbringing, you're going to get it. He didn't say if you have the right parents, you're going to get it. He didn't say if you have enough money, you're going to get it. He didn't even say if you're good enough, you're going to get it. He didn't say if you don't have any tattoos, you're going to get it. He just said, no, it don't matter if you have tattoos. It don't matter if your mom and daddy are jacked up. Come on, somebody. It don't matter if you started at the bottom, but now you're here. It don't matter where you came from. All that matters, because I can't change who my parents are. I can't change if I got tattoos. I can't change how jacked up I've been in the past. But what I can change is what I'm expecting. I can change what I'm expecting from God. And that is what God is saying here this morning. It is time to raise our expectations. All right, so I love this. So let's look at this. Here in this text that we read, Matthew 9, 27 through 30, let's look at the role that expectation played in these two men receiving their miracle. We find that expectation played a huge role in these two men receiving their miracle, their breakthrough, the clarity of their vision coming into their lives. Have you ever seen blind people try to follow anything? Right? Like, how do two blind men follow anything? Right? Like, think about this. Like, put yourself in the narrative of the text. Two blind men, and two blind men follow Jesus. Right? It's a bit peculiar. But if you've ever seen blind people try to follow anything, it is at the least awkward. It is painful to watch. It is inconvenient. It is hard to watch. Yet, these men kept following Jesus. Because these men knew, even though it's awkward, even though it's painful, even though it's inconvenient, even though I look like a fool to those around me, I have an expectation that if I get to Jesus, my condition will change. So when we come into the house of God, you can't worry about what your neighbor thinks about your praise. Some of you don't, most of you don't have any right now. It's obvious. But I want to say that again. When you come into the house of God, you can't worry about what your neighbor thinks about your praise. You can't worry if they think that you're a little awkward or you're a little out there or it's a little bit inconvenient for them or it's a little embarrassing for them. Because here's what I found out. Pleasing people doesn't help my marriage. Come on, somebody. But if I can get to Jesus, I know everything can change. And this is important across the board because it levels the playing field. It doesn't matter what color I am, doesn't matter what upbringing I have, doesn't matter what my socioeconomic background is. All that matters is what am I believing? What am I expecting from my God? This is why some people in service are getting blessed and excited, and four people down the aisle aren't getting very much of anything because one has expectation and the other does not. But the good news is right now you can flip a switch and start expecting. I don't know what you have need of, but what I do know is that God is still looking for expectation. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm not going to let a rock cry out in my place. I'm going to go ahead and let him know, God, I'm expecting you to do good things in my life. What about right now in this service? Can anybody believe that God can do something great in your life right now in this service? My kids are at home going crazy, but God, you're touching them. My parents are home. They don't love God, but God, you're touching them. God, I'm broke as a joke, but God, I know you're touching my. Somebody say amen. All right, let's look at this. And stay excited so y'all don't make me work so hard. All right, cool. Expectation was expressed in three ways in this narrative. God began to show me these things, all right? So expectation was expressed in three ways in this narrative of the text that we just read. Number one, these men took action. They started following Jesus, even though it was inconvenient, awkward, and it was hard. They started following Jesus. If you have expectation, expectation cannot just sit at the house. Expectation has to get up and start taking action. Expectation says, I'm excited even though I can't feel it, I can't see it, I can't touch it yet. I'm excited because I know it's on the way. Come on, somebody. Hello, Amazon Prime. I ordered that thing with my faith. I believe I received it, and I'm excited because I know it's about to hit my life. Hallelujah. And so action, and so this is incredible. Expectation always involves taking action. Expectation never involves being quiet, being still, doing nothing. Expectation will always involve you taking action. And so what about the woman with the issue of blood? She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, It's against the law for her to go out of her house. She can be put in jail. She can be put outside of society. Yet she heard that Jesus was passing by. Expectation came into her heart. She said, I can't sit here at the house no more. I can't sit here in church and be quiet no more. I got to go after Jesus. So she started taking action. She opened the door, started pressing through the crowd to get to Jesus because she had an expectation. If I can touch the hem of his garment, this issue I've been dealing with for 12 years is about to leave my body. So if I'm expecting something from God, then I've got to begin to take action, right? Four friends carried a paralytic to Jesus, right? They heard that Jesus was in another city, so they carried a paralytic to Jesus. They carried him 4 miles because they had an expectation. If I can get my friend to Jesus, this paralysis is going to have to run out of his body. And so they went, they took him to the house, uncovered the roof, dropped the man in front of Jesus, and Jesus says he saw their faith and their expectation, and because he saw their faith, their expectation got met with Jesus' power. Hallelujah. That's why the devil wants you to shut your mouth. That's why he wants you to sit there and act like this message ain't for you and it's not that good, because as long as you sit there and act like he's not a big deal, the devil can keep you limited. But the moment you begin to realize, I don't care who it offends, I need something from Jesus. And you know what? Listen, it offends me that you're sitting there acting like you don't need something from Jesus. We all need something from Jesus. And it, you know what? Oh, Jesus. We all need something from him. And I'm telling you, he's telling you, if you'll just begin to act like you got an expectation, you can get some needs met right in here this morning. Some of you are beginning to catch the picture. Oh, my God. The Holy Spirit is identifying. You know that depression. You know that addiction. You know that emotional stuff you don't tell anybody about. You know the hardness of your heart. You know how it's been hard for you to read and you don't even really want to come to church, but you come and put a mask on anyway because you're hard-hearted. I'm telling you right now, if you can begin to give God some praise, all of a sudden that expectation can get met by the power of Almighty God. You know what I just heard God say? If some of you will begin to express some expectation, he's going to serve some eviction notices on what's been hindering you. I know it's the 11:30 service and we got service tonight, but I'm going to give you about 20 seconds to begin to express some expectation. And I'm declaring that there's going to be some eviction notices. Come on, I hear God say, get ready. That thing can't stay in your house no more. That thing can't stay in your heart no more. That thing can't stay in your body no more. Come on the count of three, give him the biggest shout of the day. 1, 2, 3. Come on, now praise him like it's done. Now praise him like it's finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shoo! Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. All right. Hey, yeah, all right. Feel a little Elvis coming on right now. come on, somebody. Wow. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. And I got an expectation that I haven't seen the best of God's grace in my life. There's amazing grace for my today, and there's amazing grace for my tomorrow. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen. All right, so number one, they took action. Expectation will cause you to take action. Expectation will cause you to praise with passion, give sacrificially, serve in God's house, step out, apply for the supervisor position, start a new business, forgive that person that gets on your nerves. Expectation will cause you to get in the gym. Keto, paleo, weirdo. Come on, man. You got to take action. I don't know what it is for you, but the Holy Spirit's telling you to take some kind of action. We can't say we're believing if we're not going to take some kind of action. Expectation is always producing some kind of action within our life. If this message doesn't motivate you to do something more, greater, or something different in your life, you get nothing from it. Myself included. So, like, when I get done preaching, I go home, and when the Holy Spirit reminds me of what he just preached through me, I have a decision to either act on that or ignore it. It's not easy to expect God's goodness when you're experiencing something that's not good. This is where we walk by faith and not by sight. We call those things that be not as though they are. This is faith. Faith is the substance of things, hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Expectation is not moved by not seeing the result. In fact, expectation is not only not moved by not seeing the result, expectation will sometimes get a little saucy when it hasn't seen the result, because it knows the packages are on the way to my house. This is, somebody. Sugar daddy. All right, I don't even know. Here we go. All right, number two. So number one, they took action. Expectation takes action. Expectation is expressed. Number two, they lifted their voice again and again. If you're taking notes, write this down. Your expectation needs a voice. You cannot be silent and be an expectation. Oh, that's good right there. Someone ought to write that down. You cannot be silent and be an expectation. So whatever it is you have need of, you should be walking around talking about your expectation of that need being met. So expectation needs a voice. I own a house in this city. Where's my faith people? How dare him talk about owning a house? It's a sore subject, okay? I'm trying to make it right now. I'm trying to keep my head above water. Hashtag it sucks. Hashtag and it'll continue to suck unless you get some expectation. You could walk around talking about I love the Lord. I don't want to talk about things. Listen, man, he knows you need things. Someone say, yes, Lord. Amen. I need things. Come on, walk into your closet and say, I need some things. Hallelujah. I got some things. Hallelujah. Look at your husband and say, I need some things. No, come on. No, man. But you got to walk around like you got to begin to declare, I own a house in this city because the blessing of the Lord makes me rich and adds no sorrow with it. Okay, if you need a new vehicle, I own a new vehicle. I believe I receive it. My God has met all my needs according to his riches and glory. I have a new car. And then every time you're tempted to be depressed over not having a new car, you praise the Lord that you do have a new car. Come on, somebody. Because you got an expectation. I thank you, Lord, I have a new car. I thank you, Lord, you've blessed me with a new car. I thank you, Lord, it's an awesome car. I thank you, Lord, it's styling. I'm styling and profiling in my new car. See yourself drinking a cup of Starbucks in that new car. Come on, somebody. Come on, man, ain't no shame in my game. You need to use your imagination for what it was intended for. Use your imagination to see God's blessing working in your life, not the devil's curse working in your life. Let me tell you this. Past experiences will try to diminish your expectation, and God is wanting to build your expectation. Okay, now I understand there's been some unmet expectations in your life, but it's not because of God. It's not God's fault. Here's the thing. They may not be unmet. It just may be unmet yet. Someone say, keep going. So you've got to, faith, expectation needs a voice, right? Proverbs 18:21, he says, the power of life and death lie in the power of the tongue. Mark 11:23. Jesus says, have faith in God. Anybody in here have some faith in God? Come on, somebody. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say. Someone say, say. say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever things he says. You got to say what God said about your issue. Say what God said about your dilemma. Say what God said about your deficiency. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will make it. I will overcome. This is the faith that overcometh the world, even my faith. I overcome because Jesus is with me. If God be for me, who can be against me? You've got to walk around with something in your mouth that says, devil, I know what you've been trying to do with my finances, but let me show you how much I believe that you ain't all that in a bag of chips. Let me show you. I believe my God shall meet all my needs according to his riches in glory. Oh, there's something powerful when you feel like it's hell on earth and the devil says, hey, we winning. And you put those shoulders back and say, I believe God, he shall meet all my needs according to his riches in glory. Come on, man. You put the devil in therapy when you start living by faith. Huh? Come on, man. Quit letting him put you in therapy and put him in therapy. Hallelujah. Demons start tripping out when you start saying, yeah, devil, you messed my life up to this point, but that's going to make an awesome restoration story. Hallelujah. Ah, you threw your best shot, but you forgot. I got Jesus living on the inside of me, and my best days are still ahead of me. Hallelujah. So expectation needs a voice. What are you expecting? What is coming out of your mouth? Are you declaring the promises of God? Are you speaking a greater financial future? Are you speaking that God's blessing is upon your family and upon your marriage? Are you speaking that no matter the attack, that God gives his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways? Are you speaking that with long life he shall satisfy you? Are you speaking that you drink from wells you didn't dig? And come on, you got vineyards you didn't even plant. And I live in houses I didn't even build because I got the favor of God on me. You don't know who I am. What do you mean who I am, devil? How much time you got, devil? I'm blessed, hallelujah. I'm righteous, hallelujah. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm a child of the Most High God. I got a brand new robe on that. It's not even Armani. It's Jesus, hallelujah. I got a brand new ring on me. I'm blessed, hallelujah. And when you begin to declare God's promises for your future, that shows that expectation is working in your life. Let me say this. You may not be able to do everything about your issue, but you can do something. And when you do something in faith, when you do something in expectation, hear me, you step into a realm where you do something, but he can do anything. The realm of expectation is a realm where he can do anything. That's why the devil wants to keep you quiet. That's why the devil wants to keep you depressed. That's why the devil wants to keep you smoking that reefer. Come on, somebody. That's why the devil wants to keep you listening to those slow jams when I don't feel so good. I'm like, oh my God, I listen to all these. He's like reading my mail right now. Listen, man, he wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you limited. He wants to keep you depressed because he knows if those jokers keep going in expectation. Am I talking to anybody in celebration who says, Pastor Jason, I know what you're talking about because I had expectation for a couple of years before it came to pass, but there came a day when that Amazon Prime showed up at my door and all of a sudden my expectation was fulfilled. Hallelujah. If you've seen him do it before, let's give him about 5 seconds of praise up in here today. I'm praising you, Jesus, because you've done it before, but now I'm praising you because you're about to do it again. Hallelujah. 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 See, this kind of message gives the radicals permission. I'm a little radical. I'm a little radical. I'm a little radical. I don't know if I want to let it out. I don't know if I want to let it out. I don't know if I want to let it out. I don't know if I want to let it out. They might think I'm crazy. They might think I'm crazy. But I'm going through hell, and I'm about to lose my mind. So Jesus, I believe. Ah, am I talking to anybody in here? Somebody let your inner radical out and say, I choose to believe. Woo! Somebody say amen. I love this. Number three, expectation was expressed in number one, they took action. In number two, Y'all put number three up. I'm not even there. Hallelujah. They let the cat out of the bag. Oh, see? They're right. Oh, you didn't see it? You didn't see it. You didn't see it. Number one, they took action. They followed Jesus. Expectation will cause you to take action. Some of you need to get back involved in serving in this church. I know it's football season. I know there's stuff going on with your kids. And I know they got their soccer, you know, whatever, and their baseball. But chances are they're not going to the major leagues. Chances are they're not going to be the next Pele. But they can be a mighty man and woman of God. All right? And if they do go to the major leagues and they are the next Pele, tell them to sow an offering into Pastor Jason. Hey. Come on, somebody. Right? So some of you need to take action again. Number two, you got to give voice to your expectation. Don't give voice to diminished expectation. Give voice to raised expectation. I believe that God is good and that he does good to me. Hallelujah. Say that with me. Say, God is good and he does good to me. Hallelujah. Come on. Years ago, Oral Roberts got in trouble with religious people because he said, I believe that God's something good is going to happen to me today. Something about that, man. And sometimes we can lose it. So God's wanting us to get that back. And then number three, they refuse to give up. Come on, somebody. They refuse to give up. I would have given up. The psalmist said this. I love this. I would have given up unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. Come on, man. He's saying, I would have gave up, y'all, unless I had expectation. Expectation will keep you from giving up when you feel like throwing in the towel. Let me say this to you. I love this. These blind men followed Jesus into a house they weren't even invited into. What? I mean, maybe in Salinas that's normal. I don't know. But for the most part, you don't just walk into somebody's house. I'm here. What will you do for me? Right? Right? You don't just do that. You don't just walk into somebody's house all crazy. Right? But these men had an expectation. An expectation will cause you to do stuff that normal people won't do. And so they walked into this place uninvited. And here's, if you're taking notes, write this down. I love this. When it looks like you don't have access to where you desire to go in life, expectation refuses to give up until access is granted. Okay? Might be a new job, might be a new home, might be a more healthy marriage. It might be more on fire for God, more intimacy with Jesus. It might be being the light that you know you need to be on your job. It might be all kinds of different things for different people. But just because you haven't gotten there yet, come on. If it looks like access denied, expectation in God won't give up until access is granted. Hallelujah. I guess what God's trying to say is, hey, if the devil has tried to tell you access denied, that's not a good feeling. Denial. Right? Some of you remember when you were digging her, but she didn't dig you back. Right? Like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty. I had a student one time went to Great America, and he saw some, you know, good-looking girl, and he was like, Pastor Jason, I'm melting. I was like, bro, he was like a thug, you know what I mean? He was like a little thug, and I'm like, you're melting? What? Like... different strokes for different folks, but denial is never a good feeling, right? We've all experienced denial in different levels, different facets of our life. It's not a good feeling. And many times when we experience denial, the next step is to retreat. Because at least if I don't have an expectation, then I don't have to deal with disappointment. And what God is trying to say to us today is if you've experienced access denied, God is saying, if you retreated, you don't have to start over where you started. You can start right back at the place where you thought access was denied. But I'm telling you, if you'll keep your expectation, access granted. Somebody say amen. All right. Let me give you a couple more things. Can you take a couple more things? All right. Whew. Okay. How many of you, like me, when you were growing up, you saw a show called The Price is Right? Come on, somebody. When I was little, my parents used to drop me off at my Grandma Green's house. And shout out to Grandma Eva, one of the greatest women of God I ever had the privilege of knowing. But it was awesome because when I was young, she lived on Riata behind North High, beautiful little neighborhood over there when at that time, and still nice. I still go over there sometimes and kind of reminisce. But as I'm driving through, so I go over there, and Grandma's house was fire, y'all. Like, you walk in, and it smelled like breakfast and coffee. Come on, somebody. I grew up in a house where I don't even know what breakfast smells like. Breakfast smells like a box of cereal. Come on, somebody. Right? But you go to Grandma's house. Sorry, but it's true. Sorry, not sorry. No, I'm just playing. Come on. That's what breakfast smells like in my house. Either that or an egg old waffle. Click. You know what I mean? Right? Bip. Waffles, Nutella, it's all good. Amen. But anyway, so I go over there, and it smelled like breakfast and coffee. And Grandma wouldn't even be in the room. She'd be in the kitchen cooking breakfast. And Grandma's house was so dope because the second drawer was Grandpa's pastry drawer. So I walk up in Grandma's house like I own the joint. Boom, pull open that drawer, give me a little bear claw or donut stick. Little Debbie's donut sticks. Shout out. Hallelujah. Send me a box of them, Little Debbie. Hallelujah. Free advertisement. All right. So I go over there, and then The Price is Right will be on the TV in the living room. She wasn't even in the room. She in the kitchen listening to The Price is Right. Right? Price is Right was awesome. Bob Barker, Silver Fox. Come on, somebody. Not a hair out of place. Homie had game back in the day. Right? And he had that skinny little microphone with a golf ball on the top. Right? And they'd be like, and then they call somebody's name from the crowd. They call somebody out. So-and-so, you are the next contestant on The Price is Right. This is one of my favorite parts. Unless it was a boring white person. You know what I'm saying? They just walk down. They all nervous, you know? They like real stiff. Thank you for this opportunity. Yeah, thank you. Right? But every once in a while, they call a sister. Come on, somebody. The whole place changed. It turned into a party. This girl started jumping up and down, shouting bobby pins going everywhere. She running down, hugging strangers you don't even know. And she walked out talking about, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Right? Thank you, Jesus. She hadn't even won anything yet. She didn't win anything yet. But I love it because she had an expectation. Ah, she had an expectation that it may have been tough up until this point, but today, baby, is my day. I think we ought to come to church like that. It may have been hard. It may have been heavy, but God, I'm coming to church with an expectation. Hallelujah. Today, things are going to change. A couple things here before we go. Write this down if you're taking notes. I expect everything that heaven has designed for me will find me. Come on, somebody. I expect that everything that heaven has designed for me will find me. We give you praise for that. Expectation allows you to wake up in the morning knowing that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You could say it like this. You may not know it, but I got bodyguards. Goodness and mercy. They're invisible, but if you look real close, I got security. One on my right and the other on my left. Goodness and mercy follow me all the day. And since this is one of the days of my life, I'm expecting goodness and mercy to follow me today. Expectation takes the suspense out of whether or not I'm going to see the goodness of God in my life. All right, let me give you one last scripture before we close. Because it is high time to expect. Now, let me tell you this. I've told you how expectation is expressed. Now, let me tell you how to bring expectation in your life. It's very simple. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith and expectation are cousins. So you could say it like this. Expectation comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you hear anointed word of God, not because of the preacher's anointed, but because the word of God is anointed because God spoke it. Come on, somebody, right? Then expectation begins to rise in your heart, and you begin to believe what God says and have an expectation that God's goodness is going to show up in your life. So you need to listen. That you know the Bible says that your mind is at war against God. When you wake up in the morning, your mind doesn't agree with God. When you wake up in the morning, you have to renew your mind according to the word of God. Then all of a sudden, it's like, yeah. Okay, I believe. I have an expectation. I remember the expectation that I had yesterday. I have that expectation today. Come on, somebody. Amen. All right, so that's good. So we've got to cultivate expectation by hearing the word of God on a daily basis. Get the church app, listen to the word somewhere, somehow. Get the word of God in your life. We can't have expectation unless we're hearing the word of God consistently. And just so you know, once a week ain't gonna do it. Hearing the word of God once a week is a great start. But if we want to live in expectation, we're going to have to intentionally put the word of God in our lives. Somebody say amen. 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 That's how you cultivate it, all right? Last scripture. I love it. Isaiah 30, verse 18. God is looking to be good to those who expect and look for his goodness. Whew. This is God's word to us. He's looking to be good to celebration. He's looking to be good to your marriage, to your life, to your finances, to every part of you. He's looking to be good, but he's just looking for people who will expect and look for his goodness. Come on. The devil wants us to look for what's not right and what doesn't work. And God said, no, no, no. Look for my goodness. Come on. Every day. Come on, church. We get up and we look for his goodness. This changes things. It changes our perspective and the way that we live. Come on, somebody say amen. 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 Come on, bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, on the count of three, I want to give you the opportunity to know him. Secondly, say, you know what, I've known Jesus, but I'm far from him. And I want to come back to him. I want to get some things right between me and the Lord. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand, and we'll pray with you, and we'll pray for you. One, two, three, lift them up. Yeah, hands up everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And by your grace and with your help, I turn away from sinful ways. And I turn to you in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Come on, can we rejoice with everybody that just made that decision? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.